Well, we've been praying in the Holy Ghost, haven't we? And we know that praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in our heavenly language, is the doorway to everything else spiritual that God has for us. And we've been doing that. And I was praying today, and the Lord told me to share something. If I cry, just forgive me, okay? I'm a baby. I just want to let you know that. If you want some masculine, tough guy that never cries, you're going to need somebody else. I'm not that guy, okay? God touches my heart, and I am transparent before you, okay? So if I start crying and bawling, just forgive me and go with it, okay?
Right.
I'm not hurting. I'm fine. It's just the presence of God. I just love him so much. I just love him so much. And what I want to talk to you about today is better. It's just better. What you're doing is great. Keep it up. But I'd like to share something that's even better so that we can just have greater results in our life. Okay? So what he told me to tell you, I hesitate to share, because of idols, because of sacrificial calves. For these doctrines that we've been taught that we protect, the things we've been doing all along, and if somebody tells you what you've been doing isn't exactly right, it's hard to accept that because we've put a lot into it, right? So I'm going to tread lightly and delicately as I share this. Some of you are going to have no problem with it whatsoever. It's going to be a piece of cake. And it's like, oh, great, perfect, one more thing. That's going to be awesome. All right? So we're going to be talking out of the book of Hebrews today. How many of you have read the book of Hebrews from beginning to end lately? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking out of the book of Hebrews. I don't even know if we'll go anywhere else but there, but we're going to talk out of there today. I want to give some highlights. We're going to talk about praying. So that's going to be the subject of what I'm talking about, okay? And we've been praying in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord brought something to my awareness, and I just want to share it, if that's okay. But I want to build up to it also, because I know that sometimes people can give me a piece of wisdom, but it's not connected to anything else. And so it just hangs out there and I easily drop it and forget it, even though it was a key that unlocked a lock that I have so desperately wanted to unlock. If they just throw it out there, it doesn't have the weight. It doesn't have the strength just hanging out there by itself. But if you'll build the foundation to where we're all on the same page and then I share it with you, I think it'll be a little easier, if that's okay. It's nothing fantastic, but it's something awesome. It's a better way. So starting in the book of Hebrews, let's just walk through this book, shall we? So grab your Bibles out and start in chapter 1, and we'll just be flipping through pages, okay, as we walk through the book of Hebrews. I want to give some highlights about this book. This book is written to the Hebrews. Okay, and these were people who got saved by faith, but then started wanting to go back to a traditional way of serving God because it's what they knew, and they were getting pressure from others to come back under a system. Okay, so we are not the ones that kill cows and goats and drain their bloods and burn their carcasses on a fire before God. We're not those people. But how many of you know we got something called dead works? We have things that we do thinking we're making spiritual progress, or for the purpose of pleasing God, or for the purpose of acquiring something that we want from the Lord. So we have our own traditional ways of approaching Him. And then when we don't get the answer to our prayer or the gift that we're asking of, then this condemnation comes on us of, what am I doing wrong? Does God not love me like he loves everybody else? It works for them. Why doesn't it work for me? Whatever. These things come through us. So I'd like to help us completely eradicate that from the way that we approach God. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Starting in chapter 1 of Hebrews. God created everything through Jesus. We can agree? If we read the Bible, we're born again, we read the Bible, we all agree that God spoke these things into existence, it says, through the word of his power. And that he took Jesus. Oh, let me just read verse 4 of chapter 1. Having become so much better than the... I should start in 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Amen. Okay? He did that. He walked it out. He performed it and accomplished it. And in that, you and I are children of God. Are we not? Born again? Filled with the Holy Spirit? God is our Father. Let's go on. So then, it starts comparing angels with men, that God didn't favor the angels like he favors us. He favors us. We're the only ones in all of creation, of all of the creations of creations of creations, as many as there are out there, as many dimensions are out there, as many as heavens are out there, as many as other worlds are out there, if they are. We're the only ones he favored like this. The only ones. That's a big deal. To the point that he made us like himself. Look at this. I want to show you something that some of us overlook. I'm going to start in verse 5 of chapter 2. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But the one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hand. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put the subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. So in other words, he says, everything has been put under Jesus, right? Everything has been put under us. Everything. But look what the end of it says. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. How's that possible? If God put all things under him and put all things under us, it says further that he's waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. He's waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. If Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and God's waiting for all his enemies to be made his footstool, who's going to do that? If it's really true what it says in the second part of 8, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. So there's absolutely nothing that's not under him, right? And he's seated at the right hand of the Father now, right now. But look what it says. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus. When are they going to all be put under him? It says, but we don't see it yet. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It's in the spiritual realm. What do you guys think of that? Yes or no? Shout it out. Yes. It's in the spirit realm is what y'all say. That's exactly right. The victory is in the spirit. Your victory is in the spirit. But sometimes we get confused and think that our flesh person is us. It is. But unless a seed die and fall into the ground, the husk has to die that the real life can come out of the seed, right? So the husk of the seed, the outer shell of the seed, is not the seed. It's the container, right? It must die. Am I the only one that has trouble with the container? I have trouble with the container sometimes because I think it's about the container. I get caught up thinking it's like my Christmas present. Oh, they use such beautiful wrapping paper, and what a nice shaped box. That must be a great gift. The paper in the box is not the gift, is it? It's what gets your attention, it which acknowledges you, but it's not the gift. The gift is inside the container, right? Let's go on. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He tasted death for everyone. That's you and me, right? For it was fitting for him, for whom all things are, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. That's every one of us are sons as far as God's concerned in the Spirit. Bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's Jesus. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, that's him and us, are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Jumping down to verse 14, inasmuch that as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all these things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. We know that. Right? That he's able to know exactly what you're going through because he went through it. Right? So he knows what each one of us are up against. Is there any doubt about that? None. God knows exactly what each one of us are up against. It doesn't feel like it sometimes. It does not feel like it sometimes. I'm being real. There are times when it feels like I am all on my own, and it's like this big, thick barrier between me and God, almost like jello, and God's on the other side of the jello, and I'm on this side of the jello, and I'm trying to pray and proclaim and believe, but there's this thick jello in the way, and it seems like it's not happening, and I'm not connecting, and where is he? It seems like that to me sometimes. What do we do about that? Do we just keep doing it? Do we just keep doing it the way we've been doing it, and feeling as if God is far off, feeling as if we have to stew in this, feeling as if we have to carry it, No. What do we do?
You guys know the answer. You guys know.
Pray in tongues. Yes, pray in tongues. There's also something else you can do. You can, by faith, enter in. You can feel the jello. You can feel the separation. You can feel like you're all alone. And then you can, by faith, just go, Father, by faith, I step into your throne room in the kingdom of God. Just by, you can do it by inside of you too. You can just, Father, by faith, I enter your presence now. It's that simple. It's a better way. Let's go on. You know what's so good about Jesus? He left nothing undone. You know that? No matter what our gripe or our complaint or our worry or our fear is, he left nothing undone. He took care of every bit of it. Isn't that great? So then he goes on to talk about entering a rest. What is the rest of God that he's talking about? We know that the people of the Old Testament who left Egypt, went through the Red Sea into the wilderness, never entered his rest. Right? Because of why?
Disobedience.
Belly aching, moaning, looking at what's right in their personal sphere and world, calling that real, looking to it for the answer and the supply, and not to God. Not trusting who he is and that he loved them to take care of them. Why? Because they didn't have food for a couple of days. Because they didn't have some water. And in the natural, they couldn't see where the water would come from. Because the way water has always come in the past, that's not there now. Hear me. The answer you can't find because it's not around. What you needed hasn't ever been around. So you can't draw on it. What you need, you can't find by looking for it. You have to believe that God will give it to you because he's that good. He took a rock, cracked it open, and a river came flowing out. More than that, the rock followed them around. That's not the normal way to get water.
Amen.
That's a, what do we call that?
No.
A miracle. It's a miracle. God will do a miracle for you, for me. Why? Why would he do that for you or for me? Because he loves us. Because he's our father. He's our dad. He takes care of us. A rock was up on a mountain and it cracked open. And if they were over here, the water flowed over to here. If they were over here, the water would flow over here. If they were over there, the water would flow over there. They just kept going around this mountain. He just kept moving them around it. And wherever they were, the water would come down to them. It followed them. It just did. They didn't have meat. So he gave them quail. And they never entered into his rest. You know why? Even though they had need and they cried out and God gave them the miracle, they missed out on one thing, the love of God. They separated themselves from the love of God. They didn't know the love that God really had for them. Sometimes when we're in our problems or we're believing for something, it's difficult to really see that supernatural love he has for us. It's hard. So we got to do it by faith. I'm going to show you a better way. So going on, talking about entering his rest. He focuses in on one thing. What is that? In entering his rest, if you've read Hebrews, end of 3 and beginning of 4, his voice. His voice. This is the key. This is the key. His voice. You hearing him talk to you. It's the only way you can have peace and enter the rest is if he's telling you how it's all going to turn out. If he's telling you what to do in this situation. See what happens? The jello comes from being carnal, from being living in the flesh. And the jello comes and separates us from that intimacy with God. And so then as soon as that intimacy is broken, we're on our own, still remembering what it's like to be a Christian, remembering what it's like to be saved, remembering what it's like to walk in the Spirit, but disconnected from it because of the intimacy has left. So entering his rest means that we ceased from our labors, us trying to get into the presence of God. Us trying to be healed. Us trying to be fixed. Us trying to get our children into heaven. We stop the labor. We let God provide for us. But God, you know my need. Okay, heal me. Amen. Put money in my bank account. Save my kids. Fix this body that's not working the way it's supposed to be working. My goodness. If this thing I bought it at Sears, I would return it because it's defective, man. It didn't last as long as the warranty said it would, praise God. It's supposed to go 120. What do we do? The jello's there. This body's not working. Situations are piling up around us. Fears just dancing around us. Just dancing around us, trying to get us to let him in. By faith, what do? We come into the presence of God by faith. Let's go a little further in the book. Let's go to 4, verse 12. So they're talking about entering this rest. Entering the rest of God. It's his rest. Let me just back up and just emphasize this. Chapter 4, verse 3. I'm just going to be all over the board. So chapter 4, verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundations of the world, for he has spoken of a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again his designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his, God's, rest has himself, me, also ceased from his, my, works as God did from his. To enter the rest means you stop trying to do or get anything. Okay, Robert. Okay, I'm not quite following you now because I know that I have a need, but you're telling me I'm not supposed to try to do or get anything. But I have a need. So how do I do that in God's rest, who is finished and isn't doing anything else anymore. It's finished. And it was finished from the foundations of the world. How do I get it then? Good question.
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:12. Let me just finish with 11 and I'll go right on into it. Starting in 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. So if you want to do any kind of work, if you need something to do, you need to practice resting. Exactly, trusting. You need to learn how to let go and let it be okay. I'm going to show you a better way. We're going to get there. Let go and don't strive. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. And let anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. They had gift after gift after gift from God in the Old Testament, but they always followed because of the hardness of their heart. Because in their heart, they couldn't accept it. They couldn't accept it in their heart. That God loved them and was with them and would take care of them. That his whole goal was to bring them to himself. They couldn't trust that was true. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Again, we're remembering to hear his voice in all of this, right? We need to hear his voice in the rest. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and naked to him who has eyes. All things are open and naked, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Got too fast, I got tongue-tied. In other words, is there anything you're going through that's a mystery to God? Is there anyone that's a mystery to God? Is there anything he can't see or doesn't know that's going on with us? Is there some secret that we need to tell him because he's not aware of it? Is there a problem we need to inform him with because he doesn't realize that it's taking place and it needs to be corrected? So there's really nothing at all that's escaping his attention. So that means he's just ignoring us if we got issues, right? That's the truth. We're ignoring him. If you're doing something, go ahead, keep it up. I'm not telling you to stop doing what you're doing. I just want to add something to it that'll make it better. So the Word of God, when God speaks to us, when we hear his voice cuts through everything, right? And as it cuts through everything, no matter what it is, whether it's your soul and spirit, whether it's your joints and marrow or the thoughts and the intents of your heart, right? God's word cuts through all of that so that we can hear his voice and follow that, not anything else. Does that make sense? God's voice is our answer. God talking to me and you is our answer. Not the healing, not the money, not the salvation of another person. Hearing him tell you instructions on what is going on, whatever they are. That's the answer right there. That's get that going on. Seeing that we have a great high priest, verse 14, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That's us. It's called homologia. It's saying the same thing God said to us. Okay, whatever he said, we agree with him and say it. Homologia, agreeing with the Bible. We agree with what the Bible says. By his stripes, I was healed. Right? Going on. Chapter 5, we go through chapter 5. He's talking about spiritual immaturity. This is what it says in verse 13. I'll go on by 12. Starting in 12 of chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That means God's able to speak and separate your soul and your spirit so you can see the difference between what's your soul that's whacking out and what's your spirit, right? So now what he's saying is that babies don't realize they're actually righteous in the presence of God. He even corrected the Corinthians, who are the babies in the church, because they still got caught backbiting each other, devouring and comparing. And he said in chapter 15 to awake to righteousness. I say this to your shame. Some of you do not got the knowledge of God yet. How do you get the knowledge of somebody? Hanging around with them. I'm guilty. I'm not going to place it on you. I'm going to place it on me. I'm guilty of praying into the air. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of talking to God who's out there somewhere. I'm guilty of quoting the Bible over and over and over again in hopes that it gets down in my heart deep enough that whatever I need, I get. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of remembering the goodness of God in the past, but not walking in it in this exact moment. I had to repent. The Lord showed me something, and I don't want to bust anyone's chops. I just want to share something that'll help. Going on. We have to have our senses exercised. We have to be able to spiritually discern what's going on. Right? I've recently had a situation happen in my life. Well, I've had about 5 or 6 bad things happen in like a week. And they're all just sucker punches, trying to get me to reel, to look in the natural and be caught in the natural. I had somebody go out of their way to vandalize my property. Went out of their way, justifying it, thinking they're doing a good deed, hurting me personally. And I had a hard time letting it go. I seriously had a hard time letting it go because I really loved what they destroyed. I liked it. I had a lot of energy in it. I praised it. I blessed it all the time. I spoke over it. I was thankful for it. I enjoyed its beauty. I'm talking about a plant. And glorified God over it and was just so thankful for it. Because I had so much energy in it, my heart was locked into that physical thing. And when it was stolen from me, it bothered me deeply because my brain couldn't comprehend how somebody would do that. I had to learn to let it go. Now, somebody else that's not attached to it would go, that's stupid. That was so stupid. Yeah, it would be to somebody else. But take something that's valuable to you and have it destroyed and taken away. And see if you got something in your heart invested into it that you've got to learn to let go of, right? We're all learning to let go of identifying with this physical body and this natural world as the true us. It's not. It's only a shadow. It's only a created thing that's temporary. The real you is forever seated in heavenly places in the presence of God. The real you is. Not this created, made up you. The created, made up you was only the thing that God used to bring into life the real you. Right? We had an old man. He died. And then we got born a second time, remember? And the guy that's born the second time is the one that's going to heaven. The one that's born the second time is the child of God. The one that's born the second time is the real. Anything left from the other guy is going to be burnt up. So it's about us learning how to move our location from the natural realm into the heavenly realm. Bit by bit, piece by piece, thought by thought, belief by belief, love by love. We take it out of the natural realm of the physical flesh, of identifying with the flesh, and we move our identity into the heavenlies. So that when the flesh is burnt up, there's nothing of you left in it. When the flesh dies and goes to dust, there's nothing of you left in it. Everything of you, you've collected and brought into the kingdom of God so that you're fully intact when you enter the kingdom of God and suffer no loss at all when this flesh perishes. Well, that's exciting. Moving right along. Where did I put my Bible? So I'm going to ask you, are you actually spiritual? You can use volume. Yes. You actually are. The real you really is spirit. It really is. How much time have I got? Oh, no. Moving right along. So we have to learn to exercise our senses so that when we feel like there's jello between us and God, I just use the word jello. You put up walls or concrete or a chasm, whatever you want to say. When it doesn't seem like he's right here, present with me, loving me, and I'm enshrined by his glory with this protection. When I don't feel that, and he seems like he's a million miles away, I have to deliberately, by faith, step into that or open my heart to that or bring my attention to that, that I exercise my senses to be able to discern both good and evil, right? So that I can see the difference between what's happening in the natural and what's happening in the spiritual. These things that I've been suffering are spiritual attacks designed to hurt me. Is it God doing it to me?
Nope.
Is God allowing it? I heard a yes in there somewhere. Somebody said, yeah, God's allowing it. What God's doing is he's allowing you to rise up victoriously. But you got to know you got the goods. You got to know the love of God. You've got to be able to hear him talk to you. Right? That the jello be removed. Moving right along, having our senses exercised. Moving into chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles. Here we go. We are leaving this stuff. In other words, what we're about to talk about is already settled in all of us. It's already settled. It's over. And now we move on to understanding more. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of. So in other words, we don't need to talk about these things anymore. We're walking on top of these, okay? These are our foundational stones, the bottom of it all. We're going to build on top of these things that we all know are true. Ready? Laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Stop trying to get anything from God by your effort, pleading, begging. Stop it. Dead works and faith towards God, that's a foundational thing. Your faith is absolutely towards God. It's a foundational stone. It's what we're walking on, just like Mark 11, having faith towards God, right? That whatever thing you say, believing in your heart that it shall come to pass, because you don't doubt it, you know it's going to happen, you have what you say. Robert, paraphrase, right? So that's the foundation. We're walking on that, okay? That's a foundation. We don't have to try to get it. We're walking on that one. It's done already. Having faith towards God on the doctrines of baptisms, plural, that's under us already. We already know there's seven baptisms. I know that freaks some of you out. Just look in the Bible, see what baptisms are. Seven of them. But you know at least two. Baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. So that's good enough for plural, right? Two of them. Baptisms, laying on of hands. We all know that. We walk on that one. Done. We already know everybody's got to be baptized. Everybody's got to lay hands on the sick, and they recover. Foundational. Done. It's not a question anymore. We're walking on top of that one. These are the basic principles that we all absolutely have already. Okay? The resurrection of the dead. We absolutely know that. We believe on it. It's foundational stone. It's a basic principle of the kingdom of God. It's the baby stuff. And of eternal judgment. All of those things are the bottom of it all. Now, we are past every bit of that we're talking about now, okay, in Hebrews. So now none of those are in questions. They've all been settled. We all believe them. We operate in them, and that's who we are. Now let's move on to bigger things, he says, if God will permit it. Okay? I'm going to show you a better way. But you have to have these things settled in your heart. Okay? They're not a question anymore. You got to own that part. These are the foundational stones of the kingdom of God. And this we will do if God permits, or if you don't get up and walk out. Okay, no, come on, you're going to chuckle on that one. All right. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the ages to come. I think he just described you and me. I think he just described you and me. Let's read that again. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, say that I'm enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gifts. I have tasted the heavenly gifts and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. I'm a partaker of the Holy Spirit. And have tasted the good word of God. This good word of God, and when I hear him talk to me, the good word of God. And of the power of the ages to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again themselves the Son of God, and have put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain, and often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. How exciting is that? Praise the Lord. Hey, this is good news. This is something we can trust in because it's in the Bible. If I bear bad fruit, it's going to be burnt up. If I bear good fruit, I receive my rewards. The rewards aren't like, oh, I want another diamond. Oh, I want another ruby. Oh, I want a gold crown. Those are all great, but it's the reward of the revelation of Jesus Christ, of the glory of God, of who we are in the spiritual realm and in the kingdom of God, which will translate into actual rewards and jewels and things like that, so we can give them to Jesus. But I think that is so good. Let me move on. I don't want to stop there. Okay, so moving along, going on. Going into chapter 7, we're talking about the King of Righteousness, which was Melchizedek, right? And Melchizedek was a king of eternity. He was, always was. He had no beginning. And Jesus is of the same order of Melchizedek. We know that, right? And so Jesus being the Son of God, coming in the form of a man, suffering everything we do so that he can have sympathy on us, that he's just like us. He's the eternal one, that he went into the Holy of Holies. It says in verse 13, for he whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no man has officiated at the altar. In other words, in the real temple of God, which is in heaven, no man has ever ministered at that altar. They've only ministered at the natural altars down here, the ones of the flesh. It says here in verse 16, I'll read in 15 too. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. The Old Testament people were a representation of a flesh mind. A flesh mind. A flesh mind. And they had a physical temple that was for the flesh. And the commandments of the law were for the flesh. Jesus is eternal and everlasting, right? And it's the eternal and everlasting guy that paid the price for all of us. Moving along. This one right here, let me back up to verse 13 of chapter 9. We're going to read a first verse. We're just going through Hebrews real quick. Give us an outline here. So Jesus is the same as angels. We need to enter the rest. Because of unbelief, they couldn't enter the rest of God because it was already finished. Because of the flesh, right? We have to enter the rest by hearing his voice. And as we hear his voice, we can be in his rest. And he has nothing that escapes his eyes. Everything he sees and knows is going on. So therefore, he's telling us to stay in the rest no matter what we're going through. He sees it and he knows. Let's move on. Verse, what one did I say? I said 13, okay? For if the blood of bulls and goats, we're talking about the sacrifices in the flesh, and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse what? Everybody say it out loud. The blood cleanses my conscience. It's my conscience. The blood of Jesus cleanses my conscience. Right? Cleanses your conscience from dead works to the serving of the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promises of an eternal inheritance. Do you have an eternal inheritance? Good. Moving right along. You guys are flowing with me. So when we get there, you're going to be chucking right along. Just following the book, okay? Going down to verse 23. This is the greatness of Christ's sacrifice. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies, these physical things, your bodies, the temple, copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Let me just stop for a second. In the natural, they had a temple, right? They walk into this temple. There's laver, altar, bread, candles, going into the holy place and into through that second veil. And what's that room beyond the second veil called? Holy of Holies. Where was it that God was? And only who can go into the Holy of Holies? The high priest. And it says even in here, just read this book, it says that he had to make sacrifices first for himself and then for the people. But it's only temporary because it just kind of covered the sin, but it never cleared their conscience, right? So they couldn't go into his presence because they'd die, right? Because of the power and the presence of God, their conscience was be so filthy because the blood of bulls and goats never did clean their conscience. They never felt worthy in his sight. They never felt worthy in his presence. The flesh will not feel worthy in the presence of God. I just want to let you know. Been there, scared to death. Scared to death in the flesh. Okay? So Jesus cleaned our conscience from sin, and then he appeared before God in God's presence. Where's the presence of God? In the temple, in the Holy of Holies. Jesus went into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God, right? So that what? So that what? So that you and I can go there too. I might be hitting it too fast. Listen. Jesus, Moses, Aaron went into the natural temple with a clear conscience. He had to go in there clean. Trust me, there's a lot of stuff he wanted to do he didn't do. And he got himself clean, got into the presence of God so he can give gifts and sacrifices in the presence of God. God's in the Holy of Holies. Has he left? He's in the Holy of Holies. Jesus went into the spiritual Holy of Holies. The real Holy of Holies, right? So Jesus is now in the presence of God in the real Holy of Holies. All right? Let's go on. So we, verse 10 of chapter 10, says that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Right? We are absolutely clean in the sight of God for now and forevermore and always, regardless of what this natural life is going through. Right? Regardless, let me go on. Okay, now here's where I just want to go line by line pretty much. Verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and the offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Who makes his enemies his footstool? The devil is an awesome creation. How can I say that? Without him, you wouldn't know to let go. You wouldn't know what you love in this world. You wouldn't know what you're tied to in the flesh. You wouldn't know what you covet and protect in the flesh. But troubles come, and it causes us to do what? Go to God so that we can release those things and walk in the presence of God, right? He's a tool. A tool. He's not designed as a blessing. He's not a gift. Okay? He's sandpaper. He's a sliver. He's an agitation to cause you and I to rise up and put him under our feet. Jesus defeated him. Now it's your turn. You're already victorious. You're already seated in heavenly places. You're already far above all principalities and powers. But you got to walk it out. You got to walk it out through suffering, meaning getting beat on, having issues and overcoming them, having troubles and overcoming them. That's how you let go and lay down the things in this world so you can step across into the kingdom of God through revelation of who you are. This is important. 16, and this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. It's done. It's over. It's dealt with. Here we go. Ready? Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Here's the part God talked to me about. Where's the holiest? Therefore, brethren, you having boldness to enter the holiest place of all, you having boldness to enter it, where is it? Come on, you know this answer. Jesus went into the presence of God in the real Holy of Holies, in the Spirit, in the kingdom of God, not in the natural on the face of the earth, in the Spirit. Jesus stood before God the Father in his presence, so you can stand before God the Father in his presence. Here's what the Lord told me as I'm praying. Please, if I cry, forgive me. I was praying in tongues, going back and forth. Why? Because I build myself up in my most holy faith, right? But my mind is disengaged. I'm just praying in tongues. I can think about anything. I can read the Bible as I pray in tongues. And I'm reading the Bible as I'm praying in tongues. And you know what? That's what's happening. I'm being built up in the Spirit. But I have some problems. I have three people that I bring before the Lord. I mean, we all have things. I got three people that really need some help. They do. And so I've taken upon myself to go before the Lord for them. What does that mean to go before the Lord? Does it mean just walk back and forth and shanda ramana makunda rabakita rakai? Devil, I rebuke you. It could. And if that's what you're doing, good. I want to add a better way. God's way. Come into the Holy of Holies with yourself as you're praying. Don't be in this room. Your body's in this room. But you go to the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. So I was praying, Chanda Ramana Maku, and he said to me like this, he goes, come into my presence. And I just said, oh, okay, because Jesus appeared in the presence of God. So that just means just go, just appear. Doesn't mean your body moves. It just means my full attention, the me of me, puts my attention on the throne of God. However I see the throne of God. However, I see him sitting on his throne. And I go before him as I pray. The second I got into his presence there, instantly I started bawling and squalling and crying and all that good stuff. Because you know what? My heart knows I just connected with my Heavenly Father, and all the distance between us is gone. And now I'm seeing him face to face, that he can talk to me and I can have peace and rest because he's telling me. I don't want to tell you what he said. I don't want to bring any glory to myself, but I want to let you know we're going to see some good things happen. Here's what he said to me. I started crying because I didn't want to talk about it, because so many people have idols and golden calves. So many people have so much things that they protect that don't work. They're trying and they're doing the best they can, but this is better. He said to me that so many prayers, people are praying, they don't actually reach their destination because they're not appearing before me. He says, come to me, all of you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This might be a new concept to people, to actually go to God, to see him. But listen, there's nothing that you can do that you don't see first. There's nothing that's made that was made that wasn't made in somebody's mind first, in somebody's heart first. That is conception. That is where the life really is on the invisible person on the inside of you, is the real life of you, the eternal you, the forever you, is the invisible person on the inside, the second born one. It's the second born. And the second born has to appear before God. Reading verse 19 again. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. It is a new way, because we go to heaven instead of on the earth. And it's a living way. It's got life on it when we do it that way. Which he consecrated, Jesus consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So here's my little nugget. A better way is that when you're praying, when you're getting before God, when you have a need, don't just use your mouth only. Use the eyes of your heart, and let the eyes of your heart and your words come together, and you present yourself before God, seeing him before you, getting the answers of your prayers straight from his mouth to your ears. If you will do that and labor to enter that rest so that you can actually get into his presence to get your answers, you will have what he says. Because what he says, when you can hear it, it creates faith inside of you that you can believe him, that whatever he said to you is true. Right? God does not lie. So when you get into his presence and he tells you face to face, because you've entered the throne room of grace, which is in heaven, the real Holy of Holies, where God sits, where Jesus appeared, so that you and I, with boldness and a clear conscience, can go in and get before him and get our needs met. Are you with me? Did I step on anybody's toes? Good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would y'all stand up with me? I'll tell you, it's very easy to just pray in the Spirit and to just pray and ask God for stuff and quote verses and not appear before the Lord. It's very easy to do that. And if it's working for you, just keep it up. No problem. No condemnation at all. But this might even help even more if you can truly be in his presence, where when he talks to you, you clearly hear him because you see him as he is. Are you with me? Father, I just thank you for everyone that can hear your voice and hear my voice, Lord. Father, I thank you that you speak to us. I thank you that you lead us. I thank you that you guide us. I thank you that you protect us and provide for us, Lord. I thank you that you are a good Father. And that, Father, your word does say that as we come to heaven, Father, that all that is there, the innumerable company of angels and all that is already there, that we come into that, it is the spirits of just men made perfect. It's our spirit person that comes to you, Lord, of us as just men and women made perfect, Lord. And Father, we come to you with a clear conscience, knowing that whatsoever thing we talk to you about and we ask you for in your presence, you absolutely hear us and you give us what we request, Lord. And for that, we are so very, very thankful, Lord, that we praise you and thank you and rejoice in your presence, knowing that we've received the thing that you've spoken, Lord. And that your presence being one with you in that, Father, guards our hearts and our minds and completely surrounds us, Lord, and protects us as we remain in your presence. Lord, I ask that you would help everyone that can hear my voice pray this way, that they can actually pray with their heart engaged towards you, that we come into the most holy place, the holiest of all, into your presence. And that we can comfortably be in your presence with a clear conscience and boldness to ask whatever we want, knowing that you'll absolutely give it to us, Lord. Father, that we have laid down all these things of the foundational principles of the word, Father. That, Father, that it's not a question any longer as to whether we're good enough or whether we're forgiven or whether you love us. All these things are completely satisfied in our hearts, Lord. And Father, if there's people that hear my voice, that those things are not satisfied in their hearts, Father, I ask that you would comfort them and give them revelation where they are. That you would help them and encourage them to come higher and to come higher and to come into your throne room of grace, Lord, so that they can find help and grace in their time of need, Lord. That mercy is poured out on them, Lord. That they can walk as a completely nourished son or daughter of God. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. You're our hope. You're our satisfaction. You're our reward. You're our everything, Jesus. You did it all. And we get to enter in because of you. We did nothing to deserve it. We come in a state of rest. We just belong in your presence, Father. Because of Jesus, we belong in your presence, Lord. And Father, I ask that you would give revelation to everyone that can hear my voice, Lord, that we would linger, that we would fellowship, that we would habitate in your presence, Lord, that we in you and you in us, and that you make these bodies, these temples, Lord, your habitation, that you dwell in us, Father, that you find it a pleasant place to dwell yourself in us, that you renovate us, you remodel us, Lord, on the inside out, so that we're renewed day by day from the inside, Lord, just renewed day by day on the inside, Lord, and that when this tent, this temporary dwelling is cast aside, Father, that we've spent so much time in your presence that we know for a fact we have an eternal building, an eternal home that you made for us, Lord. Father, I ask for the revelation of Jesus Christ to awaken inside of each one of us, Lord, that we can truly walk in the power, in the anointing, and in the love of God, Lord. That we can be sons and daughters of the Most High. That when people meet us, Father, they know that we dwell with you. They know that we actually know you. And don't just say we actually know you, Lord. And we can share of you when we talk to them. The you that we fellowship with. The you that we talk to. The you that you show us. And as that real and living relationship between us and you, Lord, blooms, so would your presence manifest in this earth, Lord. That the boldness that we would have, the confidence that we would have as we walk on this earth because of the direct relationship we have with you. Father, I ask that men and women all over would get saved, Father, because we spoke to them, because we shared with them, because we manifested the glory of the kingdom to them, Lord. And I give you all the praise and all the honor for it. Father, I lift up anyone that can hear my voice that has a pain in their body, that has a sickness or a disease, that has an infirmity. And Father, I thank you that each one of us at this moment can come right into your presence, that we would each walk right into your throne room right now, Lord. That we present ourselves before you. We appear before you, Lord. And that whatever that thing is that is infirmed in our body or in our life, we right now present it to you, Father. We ask you to take it, Lord. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you that the answer to our prayer is yes, and in you it is amen. We have it, Lord. So, Father, that we would rejoice and rejoice with thankfulness that you have given us our request, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Love you guys.